People aren't aware of all that's given. The universe doesn't know big or small. And when we realize that if beyond the penny, that if we're saying no to options, opportunities, and touches of favor, that we're communicating that to the universe. It's a form of scarcity. There's this certain question that I've learned to ask that's a confirmation of the world and more than enough of a value add world. And it's...
Hey, what's up, everybody? Live from the NBA All-Star Weekend. Hey, super excited. Lots of things going on here. And I am super fortunate to be here with my best friend on the planet, Dr. David Meltzer.
Yeah, Dr. David Meltzer. I just love the fact that I got a smirk out of Dr. Lacey Book when you said my best friend. She knows how much that means to me. So she's like, finally, you got Mr. Smiley to actually give validation to his love for you.
I want to talk about a lot of people. Where, you know, this is the week after Super Bowl.
So Is it? I don't know.
We were out in Las Vegas last week. Now we're here. And people that follow along the journey on social media, they're like, man, like, you know, you're out there. You're doing all of this stuff. They want to be in your shoes. I want to break that down, though, because from the outside, one, I was just talking last night about how many people literally say no to opportunity. So, you know, Lacey and I, we talk a lot about finding money on the ground. Yeah. And we get made fun of a lot on social media, but it's a big deal to us that the universe sends us signs of abundance. If you see a penny on the ground, and a lot of times people are like, oh no, I'm not picking that up. You're saying no to the universe. You're like, hey, I'm good. But I also noticed that, like, you know, as I've been able to travel with you, a lot of opportunity presents itself that I see you eagerly jumping into that most people would be like, oh no, I saw you interviewed Flavor Flav,
yeah,
Radio Row.
Yeah.
So a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm not going to, what am I going to say to Flavor Flav? Tell me about how you overcome that and have learned to say yes to opportunity.
Well, it stems from the exact example that you did. I was blessed to be mentored by Dr. Wayne Dyer, who talks about, he picks up everything because it's the universe and it's not the amount. Universe doesn't know big or small. And when we realize that if beyond the penny, that if we're saying no to options, opportunities, and touches of favor, that we're communicating that to the universe. It's a form of scarcity. It's a form of not enough, or I just have enough time to interview these people. Or I think one of the other things why you are my best friend is you don't say no. And you realize the options, opportunities, and touches of favors. So you'll fly like I did on a red eye and say yes, and then organize and prioritize accordingly to get back to what you previously had planned. And the universe will respond. And the confirmation at the Super Bowl, which I've done for so many years, NBA All-Star Game, is that people aren't aware of all that's given. So if you pass a penny on the street, you're saying, I'm not aware of all that I'm given. And then it leads to, I'm not worthy of receiving all that I'm given, even if I am aware of it. And so for me, the testament or the confirmation of going to these huge events and being able to be open not only to the options, opportunities, and touch of favor, but to expand that, amplify it to the people you love the most. And I find it interesting because since the Masters, people didn't believe me. I was blessed to do this thing, CBS's Master of Giving, because I always would say to people, oh, Masters is on your bucket list? Come with me. And they're looking at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, you know, you may have to help me out with a badge because those are super expensive, but like food, entertainment, the house, you know, if you don't mind sharing a house with people you don't know, come and join me at the Masters. And you saw that at the Masters, the Super Bowl, and now at the NBA All-Star Game. There's a whole bunch of everybody that joins us, and it's just a testament to what abundance is.
So the next step of that, that once people overcome that, they're like, okay, I'll buy into that. I'll do that. Even for me. So I'm going to be very, very vulnerable, transparent. Like, if you're going to roll with David Meltzer, you're with all of these big time people that just show up. Like, they're just all of a sudden these people come up. And right. And even for me, half the time they're like, I know who you are. I've talked to you about that. Like, there are people like, oh, I know who you are. And I'm like, how do you know who I am? Like, what's going on here? It is easy then for people to feel, and you mentioned this, it's easy for people to feel small, to feel unworthy in a situation. Help us to overcome that and understand that when we are put in these situations, it is actually because we are worthy.
Yeah. And I think it works both ways, to feeling worthy, but also to not having a need to be offended. And so there's this certain question that I've learned to ask that's a confirmation of the world of more than enough, of a value add world. And it's, how have I done this, or how do I feel when that's done? Meaning that, you know, I take offense to someone, you know, that does something to me, and I'm like, well, have I done that? Mm. Oh, I have. Mm. Right. Oh, you know, have I lied about showing up to somewhere, an excuse of not showing up to somewhere? Yeah, I have. So why am I so offended that I caught someone lying and saying, hey, I can't make it because, you know, the ticket prices of the plane is too high, when, you know, I look up the ticket, I buy a ticket for you.
Right.
And then the other side is even more important in receiving, is how would I feel if they received what they're offering me? How would that make me feel to be the giver? And then I say, well, why am I denying Sean? Like, you bend over backwards, you and Lacey, you bend over backwards so many things for me. And my initial reaction, just like my initial reaction to be offended is to be offended, my initial action is no. Like, I don't want to come down to Florida or stay at your house or do all the nice things that you do. And then I'm like, well, how do I feel when someone says no to me when I'm offering, because I love being around the person and I want to share all that I've been given? And that's really been the key to me as a validation of abundance, of why would I cheat my best friend out of giving me this, whatever you're offering, and an invitation, not an obligation. And I think that really has helped me heal my worthiness, because now it's not that I'm not worthy. It's that I shouldn't feel bad or cheat you out of giving. And I shouldn't cheat myself out of what's given.
I love that. You teach in the marketing or networking, your teaching is, I meet somebody, I figure out, you know, what they're excited about, what they're passionate about, what they love about it, what they don't necessarily love about it, and then would it help you if?
Yes.
So many times I talk to people that are like, yeah, okay, I understand what he's saying, but I don't know what I have to offer this other person. Like, what am I? So in the last step, I'm home free. I had the whole conversation, but I don't know what would it help you if, and I'm drawing a blank. Help me to, because that speaks to unworthy. Like, yeah. Who am I? I don't have anything to help somebody.
Or could also speak to not understanding being more interested than interesting, is that we get so caught up into this is the subject matter, the topic, or the area of expertise that I have. And so therefore the conversation is only aligned with that, you know, that topic, where I have gotten more in abundance from people who just mentioned to me, you know, I really need a babysitter. Mm. Would it help you if, you know, my 13-year-old babysat for you? Mm. Or, you know, I can't afford a car. Well, I got 6 cars and no drivers. Would it help you when you came to California if you borrowed one of my cars? And that has nothing to do with my area of expertise. I'm not a Turo guy, right? But I find that, you know, one of the main things, there's 2 things I end content with: either be kind to your future self and do good deeds, or be more interested than interesting. Because the more we're interested, the more we can understand how we can be of service or value, or a simple connection or a simple favor that can change our lives by, do you know anyone that can help me? And when I hear that all the time, like, our friend invited us to, I think it's duck hunting or some kind of hunting event.
Quail.
And quail, right, because he was just telling me I was more interested in what he was doing in movies and TV, and he had done Unbroken, the movie. And then he said, have you ever seen The Righteous Gemstones on HBO? Right? And I love that show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because it's kind of about Joe Osteen. I don't know if it's too soon for me to say how much I love Joe Osteen with what went on in Houston, but I love him. And I'm like, holy shit, you own that house? And then I'm like, hey, you know, do you know what can help me if we did a mastermind there or did an event? Now he's having a conversation there, et cetera. So I just find that inherent in not just not being worthy, it's people are just so focused on, you know, this is what I'm trying to get, instead of just being open-minded and remembering value can only be created in 2 ways: giving people what they like more of, or taking away some, if not all, of what they don't like. And sometimes it's something really simple that, you know, I need a piece of paper and a pen. hey, would it help you if I gave you my pad? I don't need this anymore, my journal. These are little things that create and establish a relationship, make us feel better, and then lead to bigger and better things that are on topic or do align with our subject matter expertise.
So you do these VIP dinners, and we've done a couple of them together.
Thanks to you, I started them.
tell me about that experience. Tell me, like, why do you do them? What do you get out of doing these all over the world?
I get a community of people that buy from me and sell for me that are at the same frequency as I am. I've always done VIP dinners. The only difference was I never felt worthy of the value of what that meant to me and to the people that showed up. And so what I started to do in the idea of abundance was, wait a second, we can all benefit and there's a quantitative value to it. And it is difficult because some people can't, because it's like a Super Bowl ticket. Mm. Everything I do, I kind of put into this format. If I have a Super Bowl ticket, it's worth, this year was worth 10 grand each. So my brother, maybe more, depending on how good. If you got Dave Meltzer seats, it's worth more. But the average seat, 10 grand. So my brother calls me and said, Dave, can you get me a Super Bowl ticket? And I'll tell him, yes, but they cost me 10 grand. You have to pay for them for 10 grand? No, I don't. But I can sell it for 10 grand. So if you're comfortable with me giving you 10 grand and that's your intention and you're my brother, no problem. But I want you to acknowledge that there's a quantitative value of this, and it's the exact same energetically of you asking me for $10,000. So is that worth it to you for me to do that for you? And I tell my siblings that, who I would gladly give it away, because I think a lot of times we don't communicate effectively and realize there's value. So with the VIP dinners, the most difficult thing in the worthiness was, hey, we only have 40 seats. Well, that means the restaurant told you there was 30 available and I sell 40. but when people are like, hey, how dare you charge me to come to dinner? I literally say, yeah, but the difference is if you are comfortable that the fact that it's $2,500 to come, that I'm giving you $2,500 and our relationship hasn't warranted that type of value yet, if you're cool with that, then you can come for free. But I think people just don't know. And then, you know, there was one podcaster that really wanted to come. And instead of just asking me and saying, hey, I really want to come, it'd be great value, it would really help me if you did this for me, he attacked me. Mm. You know, oh, I thought you were so abundant. You should have people come for free. I'm like, you know, about 90% of what I do is free. And so if you'd like to make me a certain introduction, you want to come to my meetup, or you know, come online, all free. My books, I ship them for free. But there's certain things that are funding all of this, and I fund those VIP. So that was the most difficult thing for me, because if I did also do it for free, we would have to have probably now about 1,000 people at a dinner, and I just can't afford to do that 3-4 times a week.
Right. I was going to end there, but you brought something up, so I want to add one more thing. Somebody wanted to come to the dinner, didn't communicate effectively, or wanted to do a podcast, whatever, and they didn't communicate effectively. They have a need to be offended, right? So then they go on the attack. This is very common.
Very
right?
common.
Like, and you and I were actually talking about that the other day. Then you know, you have this philosophy of allowing people to fall off. But in the moment, it's very hurtful.
Very.
You're like, I didn't do anything. I mean, we're involved in a situation right now where from our partnership, we didn't do anything wrong, and other people are mad. Yeah. And you're like, well, we didn't change the narrative. We didn't do anything wrong. How do we handle that? Because it's easy for that need to feel offended or be offended. It's easy for that to creep into us. And then you're like, okay, so listen, because you're being a jerk, I'm going to be a jerk to you. Because you're attacking me on social media, maybe I don't attack you on social media, but I'm going to talk about you here. How do we mitigate that in the world where everybody has a need to be offended and sometimes they're not so nice to us?
Yeah, well, human nature never changes. So one thing that gives me solace is I study history to learn human nature even before social media. And so forgiveness, from way back when in Sanskrit or on the Course in Miracles that have been forever, or any of these other texts, religious texts, spiritual texts, forgiveness and praying for someone's happiness, right? Hurt people hurt people. And so my first initial response is to find out how you're hurt so you stop hurting me. But some things can't be resolved, and that's where the fall away strategy comes into place, that I don't give it any energy. And if someone brings it up, it's just simply I pray for his happiness, I pray for her happiness, I take accountability for hurting them unintentionally, which anyone that has kids, anyone that lives life knows that we have hurt so many people. Going back to where we started, have I done this before? I have not only hurt people unintentionally, but I then, out of my insecurity, project my hurt and try to hurt them, either talking behind their back, much less than I do today at 56, but at 18 or 28 or even 38, right? I was very passive aggressive, very attacking on so many people in a passive aggressive way, that just now I'm learning those lessons. So my best advice is to, you know, forgive, but also pray for their happiness. And then if you can't figure out how you unintentionally hurt them, or maybe you intentionally hurt them, then let them fall away, because it is also a form of protection and promotion. You know, I've had family members say things to me, and I said, wow, you know, they were attacking me. I said, if what I did warranted that response, then at what level is our relationship? You know, it's like people who say they're really good friends, but if you do this, then I'm not going to do this. Well, then are you really my friend?
Right.
Right. Are friends forgive people, right? And you're married and I'm married. How much forgiveness is involved in us being human as husbands, and the fact that they're still with us when they could be with much better looking men, probably with much more money too. There's a lot of forgiveness or blindness going on.
I got to tell you, I had to make a bed with Lacey, though, today. I said, I hope that you always have a rich husband, because she's not very good at making a bed.
Yeah.
It's the bed Nick's going to sleep in tonight.
That is so good. My grandma, like, instilled that into me and said that that's one of the key things to being successful, is if you're disciplined in making your bed.
She is disciplined in making it. Not, yeah. I'm just saying.
She's quality. Not good at it. Yeah. It's not a military grade. You can't bounce that penny that you found on the floor off of it. Yeah. No, I get in trouble with Julie because I actually make the hotel room beds. And she's like, why do you clean and make a bed in a hotel room? And I'll tell you two reasons. A great travel tip. One, you won't believe when you find stuff that you lost by cleaning. But then also, most hotel rooms, unless you're staying with Julie or Lacey, are very small. And so, you know, we don't have the 3-bedroom Waldorf suites unless we're with them. So to have that extra room to lay everything out is also a form of productivity. I know we always get off topics. We're at the NBA All-Star Game, and I can't thank you enough for just enhancing every special event that I've gotten to go to over the years. You're like BASF. The NBA All-Star Weekend is great, but it's only better with Sean Dill, and my life is better with you and Dr. Lacey Books. So thanks, brother.
Yeah, thanks so much. Hey, everybody, next time you have an opportunity to say yes to an opportunity to do something with the two of us, reach out. We would love to have you. We'd love to have you be a part of the community, and we will do everything possible to make you feel right at home.